This podcast is brought to you by the Legarten Institute. I'm Sianne Hansen, Executive Director, and we hope you enjoy this conversation. I'm delighted to welcome Ben Page. He is the Chief Executive of Ipsos Mori and has, seen many election cycles. So thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And now let's just start with, what do you think is going to happen in 71 days
I mean, the simple answer is that a hung parliament is most likely, but nobody actually knows what sort of that will constitute, and all sorts of things could happen. Some of the bookies were only offering odds on two different parties winning in 2005. They're now, the same bookies are now offering 19 different permutations for what might happen in May this year.
That's extraordinary. So what does that uncertainty mean, do you think, for the citizens of the UK?
Well, I think you've got to remember that people in Westminster, Whitehall, business, London, sitting around thinking about the election, political risk, uncertainty, most people in Britain are just carrying on with their everyday lives. It's not the biggest, they're not all sitting on tenterhooks. And one of the arguments, actually, is that it will only be once the campaign kicks off during April that voters, and then particularly after Easter, that voters will come back and start to really think about who do they want to be the Prime Minister of this country and in the government. And so, the parties at the moment are sort of locked in a death struggle almost, a sort of war of the week, with neither able to get a stranglehold over the other. But they're perhaps hoping that after Easter they will get, something will shift in the undergrowth. But it may well not be. We may be heading for something that last happened in 1910, which is two consecutive coalitions.
Out of all the scenarios that coalition might be the likely outcome, give us your reflections on who might be the leaders of these coalitions.
Well, again, it's really, really difficult because both the main parties are obviously going to be in one of the coalitions. So the coalition will include either Labour or the Conservatives, I can tell you that. Who else it will include is really fraught with difficulty. And the reason for that is that politics is very finely balanced, and it's so knowing which of those, I can't really even predict which those would be. If the polls stayed the way they are now, it would be more likely to be the Labour Party. And the reason for that is that despite Ed Miliband being more unpopular than anybody who's become Prime Minister in an election in Britain before, the Labour Party only needs a very small lead in the polls in order to secure a majority, because the voting system is currently very unfair to the Conservative Party. So the Conservatives might need up to a 10-point lead in the opinion polls to be absolutely certain they were going to get a majority, because of the way votes translate into seats. And so because Labour is a few points ahead in the polls, it's been going down over the last 2 years, but is still ahead, you would say Labour would probably end up with more seats. Right. But there are all sorts of scenarios where the Conservatives end up with more votes, but Labour get more seats.
Right.
As I said earlier, if one party, if they both get 33.4% of the vote, which is perfectly possible, you could end up with Labour having as many as 50 more seats than the Conservatives with exactly the same percentage of the vote share.
Extraordinary times.
Yeah.
Tell me about the youth vote. I think they're quite undecided, aren't they?
The youth vote are undecided, and the other thing about the youth vote is there isn't much of one. Most of the youth don't vote. Only 44% of them voted last time. And they are, they are particularly disillusioned with the two main parties. And this is part of a generational shift that's happening in this country. So back in 1951, 97% of us voted for one of the two main parties. And people who were alive then, who were born before 1945, have tended to say that they will always vote for the same party. They're very party loyal. The challenge is that each successive generation, down to today's young people, has become more and more party disloyal. And so the young are not swelling to the ranks of the Conservatives or Labour. They are attracted by people like the SNP in Scotland, the Greens in Britain, in the rest of Britain. And again, they're not easy to call, but a lot of them won't vote.
And where do you think that disengagement has developed from? It's just that, you must do some polling around whether they trust politicians or trust business. Yep. And
well, young people they tend to support, to be honest, the Labour Party. By far and away, they tend to favour the Labour Party. But the interesting point with the young people is whether they actually bother voting. And as I say, the majority of registered younger voters under 34 last time didn't actually vote. What the challenge for the political parties on the left is actually translating that support into voting behaviour. And we even saw that in Scotland in the referendum in September of last year. We had 95% of the electorate telling us they were going to vote the day before the referendum. On the day, it was only 86%, and it was disproportionately younger working class people who, despite supporting the SNP, just didn't finally manage to get down to the polling station.
Does that make you worry about the state of democracy?
Well, I think ultimately, and I think again, the Scottish referendum shows that when people think it matters, people vote. So 65% of us voted in 2010, but in Scotland, in September of 2014, we had 86% of the electorate voting, because there it was very clear, if you vote one way or the other, there will be a big difference. I think you might argue that actually, in some ways, non-voters are often quite rational in our system. There are many constituencies where, in fact, almost half or more of constituencies, you can almost predict now what's going to happen. And if you're a Conservative voter in Newham or in parts of Manchester, probably it's an irrational act to vote. Your chances of winning are so slim, you may as well stay at home. In Barnsley, 48% turnout, Labour win, but on a, you know. So the other point, of course, is the overall fiscal situation that government will find itself in, whether it's a left-wing government or a right-wing government. And that is that it's going to have to, you know, do more cuts, save more money, and you know that's a tough one. And maybe the voters are actually right when they say actually it's not going to make a huge amount of difference. They don't believe that either of the main parties can do much on issues like immigration, housing, and maybe they're right.
Yes, but there are some bright spots, and hopefully those would come through. You know, the economy is doing better, and job growth is there. Is that reflected in any way of, you know, the polling that you're doing?
Well, concern about the environment, concern about the economy is gradually drifting down. So the public is less worried about the economy. The difficulty for the politicians, particularly for the incumbent government, is that translating into any sort of feel-good factor. Now, we are now starting to see wage rises running ahead of inflation, because inflation has fallen so low and potentially even negative. But people just don't, only 14% of people are telling us that they expect to feel better off this year because housing costs continue to rise, et cetera. So that economic growth hasn't translated into a feel-good factor for the electorate yet, which is a huge problem for David Cameron and the Conservatives. Mm-hmm. For them, it's more of a fear pitch, you know, that vote for us to continue our good work and really don't mess it up with Ed Miliband and Ed Balls.
Yeah. And if you were a predicting kind of man, rather than looking at snapshots right now, what do you see in 1 year's time?
Well, the answer is, if I knew that, I would be, I probably wouldn't be here, I'd be somewhere else. And I was the only pollster to predict a hung parliament a week before the last general election. But then I saw all the predictions of the other pollsters and decided to join the pack and say, that's of course what the polls show, but I would predict, you know, a small Conservative victory. Yeah. I mean, frankly, it is impossible to call. Yeah. Will we have another coalition? You know, you could see this coalition carrying on. You could see Ed Miliband turning out to quite get on with the SNP in some strange way or other and forming some sort of government. I mean, it's really, you know, if I knew that, I wouldn't be here. The answer is that it's incredibly close. I think what we can say is some of the trends that the public are probably going to, you know, it's going to be a slow recovery in terms of personal feel-good factors, distrust of elites, plenty of that carrying on. This is Britain, so we don't really do ideology in a major way. I can tell you what we will be doing in a year's time. We will be muddling through as we are now, and hopefully the economy will be growing a bit, but we still won't be feeling wonderful.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
To hear more podcasts from the Legatum Institute, please visit our iTunes channel or website at www.li.com.